some in this week, yeah, at the end, yes, but in others weren't. So just to, so that we on the same page broadly as to what we're trying to do. It became clear in the course of yesterday that we weren't going to be able to finalize the bill today. We could try to do it, but the danger would be that we would be clumsy in the process and not do justice to all the hard work we've put in. So what the team, our colleagues from the Department of Transport, asked us, what we agreed with them to, was that they would really focus on the core issue, which is the institutional arrangements and the respective functions inherent or assigned in regard to the different spheres of government. That's the very complicated issue, and it's complicated by the Constitution and the schedules in the Constitution describing which functions belong where, and also by existing legislation, particularly of a municipal type legislation, but also relating also to budgetary flows and so on. So what Jitson, Neville, and the colleagues have brought back to us now today is text relating to that core issue, which they'll table for us and which we'll discuss this morning. Hopefully then we can get an in-principle agreement about where that's going. Then we will give them Friday and I'm afraid Saturday, Sunday, Monday morning to embed this then in the amendment, in the bill that we're dealing with. Not literally, but as it were, work out how it locates within the thing. Look at all the consequential amendments, and there will be many that flow right through, from beginning with the definitions right through into other things. But also then pick up on some of the other things that we've been working on as well, which we aren't asking them to present this morning, but we've I think got pretty much to finality in terms of quite a number of other areas around the so-called vested rights issue, when we cancel permits or move out of interim contracts with bus companies, and how do we handle all of that? I think we've got pretty close to. So that we won't discuss that this morning. But so what we're planning to do is come back on Monday at 2:00. Okay, that's the next time after this morning that we will meet, Monday at 2:00, to finalize. And what we've indicated to, welcome to my word. Maybe I'll just begin to track back a little bit, just to keep you up to speed as well. What we've, and forgive me for repeating, but it's important that my wit as a Dr. Cefalora has a sense of where we are. We've, on all the other bills that we were dealing with, so there are three others, we finalized them in committee. So that's the legal succession, that's the road traffic, National Road Traffic Act, and Amendment Act, and the Rail Safety Regulator Amendment Bill. All three of those we've finalized in good time. Okay. Predictably, the challenging piece of legislation is the National Land Transport Bill. I think we've made very good progress on it. Sorting out almost all of the complex issues, but the most complex issue is the one that we still have to be sure that we've got right, okay? And that most complex issue is predictably the powers and functions in regard to transport broadly and public transport specifically of the three spheres. And as I was saying, just as we're coming in, that's not made easy as we learned, as we proceeded. By the Constitution itself is very unclear, particularly in the schedules. So it's described as a provincial inherent function, public transport, as you know, and then describes municipal public transport as an inherent function of municipalities, but doesn't offer definitions or distinctions between those things. And that's what we're trying to do now. We're trying to clarify what are inherent public transport functions of municipalities. what are potentially assigned functions and who assigns them. Is it national or provincial? And what are the provincial and national functions in regard to these things, and what is in here? That's the nub of the complexity. What makes it further complex, but important to get right, is the Municipal Systems and Municipal Structures Act, so that we were initially doing our own thing with good intention. We were looking at the world from a transport perspective, which is our job. But our colleagues from DPLG in particular, and a little bit from Treasury, and also then inputs from two provinces, from Gauteng and Western Cape, pointed out that, you know, maybe we couldn't invent municipal legislation, that we had to be guided by existing, and correctly so, we've accepted that. So we've taken quite a lot of advice, and our colleagues from the department have been working closely with DPLG in particular, and they've proved to be very helpful, as I say. I get that impression, especially they've made inputs here, but also there's been a lot of backroom work. So in short, what we're doing this morning is getting a report back now from all of that work, which has been sort of hard backroom work, trying to sort out how we handle this complex thing of institutionalizing and legislating for the relationship of the different spheres of government in regard to transport broadly, and more specifically public transport. I think that's a fair summary of what we're expecting. Now, originally, just so that we also have a sense of what we're doing, originally we were planning to finalize in committee today. That's unrealistic because this is complicated, and what this is doing now, what is tabled before us, we haven't yet had it. We have a sense of where it's going, but we haven't yet had it tabled. Is it's going to have all kinds of consequential ramifications for the rest of the bill in terms of definitions, in terms of all kinds of other things. So rather than rush it and try to do all of that now today and make mistakes where we miss out a consequential thing and so on, because it's quite a long bill, and we've altered the architecture very quite significantly. So we're going to try and sort out a core knotty issue today in principle, basically pin that down, then ask our colleagues to go away, and then come back at 2 on Monday. I know that you don't like Monday, but we're going to have to do that because we were meant to debate this in the House on Wednesday, but we've indicated to the relevant entities, the committee section, the ANC whippery, state law advisors also, that we would like the debate on Thursday, and there is space in the House for a Thursday debate as well, to meet the 3-day rule. In other words, you have to finalize in the committee 3 days before it goes to the House. You can get an exemption from that, but it's undesirable, particularly when it's complex legislation, because the translations are required and all that stuff. And we've had some bad problems in the past where we try to rush complicated legislation. I think it was a child, you know, and because we were rushing, everyone was being rushed. And we blamed the state law advisors, they blamed the committee section blamed us MPs and so on. We were probably all being unrealistic. So that's what we're trying to pull off. And we have to do it. We have to get to the House next week in order to get it to the NCOT. And it's very much a 76 bill as well. So it's a matter in which 9 provincial mandates will be required. And so we've got to create space for that as well. Otherwise, we'll miss the boat. Okay, so I hope I've summarized it correctly. Is my understanding what we're doing correct? Okay, it's the same that you have. And the same with members, I think. Okay. So we're going to need a quorum on Monday. We won't need it at 2, but we'll need it somewhere around 4, when we'll actually then get to this. We'll have, those of us who are working on it, we'll have to be here from 2, but we need to secure the quorum by about, I guess, 3, somewhere between 3 and 4, if everything else is in order. Okay, sorry about that long thing, but just so that we're all on, because some of us are coming and going, and colleagues have got other responsibilities and so on, so sorry about that. Okay, is that clear enough? No, we're well aware of the challenges you've had. Okay. I'm not expecting us to sit for too long today. I'm expecting, you know, maximum an hour and a half or something of that order. But, you know, obviously we'll have to see how it pans out. Okay, so with that long speech, over to Jess Neville and Adam and my colleagues here.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just with respect to the fact that you indicated that the National Assembly, therefore, will sit on Thursday. In the case of the Minister of Transport, there's an acting Minister of Transport, presently the Minister of Science and Technology,
right,
will be there. I think he probably needs to be informed as well that there's a shift to Thursday. I'm not sure what is the mechanism.
I think the mechanism would be the department rather than us. Okay. So if somewhere in the department we could make sure Dion or someone like that could be the liaison. It should be the minister's parliamentary liaison person communicating, I think. Yeah. Okay. Does that apply to Wednesday as well as to Thursday, or only to Thursday? It applies to Wednesday and Thursday. In other words, we'll have an acting minister on both Wednesday and Thursday. Okay. It's a pity, eh? Because particularly with this one, we need a political champion going from the NA to the not least from the NA to the NCOP. There needs to be, at a government level, a political champion. So, but I mean, okay, that's something I will raise through whatever channels I've got ANC channels, right? Yeah, okay.
Chairperson, we've drafted a document and it's dated 14 August. That's the document which we'll take the committee through. It reads National Land Transport Board, institutional changes after discussions with the Department of Provincial and Local Government. So I think these are the changes that will actually enable the kind of evolution that is envisaged in the transport sector, particularly to the municipal sphere, and consolidating functions, public transport functions at the municipal sphere. So with that backdrop, the first the definitions are the areas that we needed to get right. And based on some of the advice that we have received from TPLG, this is the format in which we've actually run it. The first one is the definition of municipal public transport means public transport contemplated in section 11(1)(c) and any other function assigned to the municipality under section 11(2). Now, section 11(1)(c), I think it's on page 2 of the same document, and those are the whole set of, it starts on in the middle of page 2, and those are the whole set of municipal functions, public transport functions, municipal public transport functions. It continues on to page 3 and right up to page 4. So those are a comprehensive set of functions that you will see for the municipal sphere. And, of course, what it means is that all these functions would, it's at the level of the sphere, that means all municipalities would actually be required to do so. Of course, in practice, what will happen is that those, they don't need certain functions, they simply won't take them up. For instance, travel demand management, it's particularly useful in areas where there is high levels of congestion, in which instance municipalities in less congested environments would obviously not utilize those. Okay, so that's that. Then we've defined public transport, as it's in the Constitution, for both the national and the provincial sphere. So the first public transport definition is in relation to the national sphere of government and means and includes the functions mentioned in section 11(1)(a). So all the responsibilities that rest at the national sphere have been allocated in 11.1A, and all the responsibilities in relation to the provincial tree of government are vested in the 11.1B clause. So that's right. So those are the distinctions. I think Treasury and everybody else have been saying that we need to make those distinctions, and it's about time that, and in fact, I think it makes sense for the final piece of legislation beyond the Transition Act needs to actually set out much more clear parameters of responsibilities between the three spheres of government, given that public transport is a concurrent function.
So it's just that sounds great for the moment. I mean, I can see there's some fast moves going on, 11.1 and so on. But okay, we'll come to that. But these would now be definitions in the definition section. And just so a technical question rather than a substantive question. We've got two definitions then of public transport in relation, and maybe just how we word it might be. One might rather than have two definitions of public transport, have defined public transport and have a Roman 1 and a Roman 2 or something
like
that.
Yes.
But I'm asking the specialist, not state law writers. That, in other words, it would be problematic having two bold public transport under definition. To say exactly what you're saying, but public transport, Roman 1 or something like that, in regard to the national fair means, blah, 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 2. Like that. Minor thing. Okay. Dr. Flark?
Yeah. Shouldn't we say national public transport?
No. Okay.
Actually, the Constitution specifically mentions public transport, so that's why we've done it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Can I
proceed? Yes.
Okay. Chairperson, so 11.1. The responsibilities of the three spheres of government as follows. So 11.1A would be the national sphere of government is responsible firstly for the formulation of national transport policy and strategy. 2, the national strategic transport planning and coordination and preparing a national land transport strategic framework in terms of Section 43 of the Bill. 3, coordination between provinces and to address arrangements between the three spheres of government and public entities with a view to ensuring the effective and efficient execution of land transport function. 4, assigning functions to the most appropriate sphere of government. 5, liaising with other government departments in the national sphere with responsibilities that impact on transport issues with a view to coordinating land transport. 6, capacitating and monitoring provinces and municipalities that lack capacity or resources to perform their land transport functions. 7, coordinating transport relations between the Republic and other countries and implementing international agreements. 8, performing the functions contemplated in this Act in relation to applications for operating licenses. 9, acting as contracting authority for subsidized services contracts, interim contracts, current tendered contracts, and negotiated contracts concluded in terms of the Transition Act. 10, performing the other functions assigned to the minister in terms of this act. Maybe.
Okay. And the critical ones there are 8 and 9. Okay. Right, let's sit here from there. Because the critical ones. Critical because many provinces would assume, or at least some of them will assume, that that's their function, because currently they are performing that function. Okay.
In the strategy document, as you recall, the policy is that the operating license function should go to what were formerly designated planning authorities or transport authority. Now it will be municipalities to which that function is assigned. And in order to ensure coordination on a national level and so on, it's been pulled up to the national level.
Yes. Okay. But that's where we can anticipate some issues raised at the NTSB.
So if I could say something on the subsidy function, this one really does rest with national already.
Absolutely.
Because the money is on the national budget.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But nonetheless, there's a sense in provinces that it's clear vague. Okay, but let's just check with members. I mean, I'm fully in support of what we think said there. But let's see if members are okay.
Yeah.
By saying I'm fully in support, I wasn't trying to intimidate members into it. Okay. Maxwell?
Yeah.
And then let's go, Maxwell.
Yeah.
Swing Kabini, can you just knock on for Maxwell? Thank you.
Chairperson, six.
Capacitating, yeah.
Yeah. The province and municipalities.
Yeah.
What would the provincial transport into?
Okay, I think we find later a similar thing. If you look under 5B on page 2, then they also have a responsibility to capacitate municipalities. So there would be a joint function in regard to municipalities that both national and provinces would have a responsibility to capacitate and so on. And there's some others that are similar, like integrate and make sure.
So it's not a duplication function for national look at province.
National must look at provinces.
Yeah.
And national must look at provinces and municipalities. Provinces need to look at municipalities. Clearly, in terms of the cooperative governance principles, a national should work cooperatively with the relevant province in doing that. And that would be a requirement of legislation and the constitution. The national couldn't just plunge into a municipality without engaging with the province. I mean, they might try to do that, but the province would be in order to say, hang on, in terms of corporate governance and the spirit of the constitution and so on, we need to be included in this. We know that every city is failing in its 2010 preparation. And so that's what we've done. The national intervened in some cities and allocated staff and so on. Sorry.
Has allocated staff and so on to assist there. And presumably, there's always been a working relationship with the province. Okay, the complaints that I don't switch this thing on, and then some poor person has to work out what I was mumbling later when they write numbers. So I'm trying to remember. Okay.
So this was discussed with the DPLD. There are circumstances in the constitution where national can intervene. It's limited, and there are procedures and so on. But that is essentially being left to the constitution.
But also, the Mugabot constitution following the same principle, that's number 6.
Currently, the money for the bus subsidies is paid to the national department. It's on the national department's budget. It's then distributed from there to the provinces for administration. So it is essentially still a national function. And then we make a provision for assignment.
So what's at play here, so that we're transparent about what we're doing, is that we're saying it's a national function, and we're saying it's inherent in terms of that's how we're defining public transport in regard to the national sphere. It's an inherent thing. It can assign it to provinces, which is currently what is happening, but it can also assign it a subsidy function to a metro, for instance. And that's what we are trying to do. So in the case where there is real capacity in metros, and metros are moving ahead with a bus rapid transit or integrated public transport system, we don't want their attempt to do that to be undermined, and that's a real danger currently, by a provincial bus subsidy approach, which bears no resemblance to what they are trying to do by way of their integrated planning at the metro level. So it will be national, that we'll say. We are assigning to the province,
province X bus subsidies for the following areas, perhaps. But we are assigning to this or that metro the bus subsidy function for the area covered by the metro. So we're trying to allow that flexibility because there's been serious problems on that front, visible right here at the moment in the Western Cape. So the using its subsidy function, potential subsidy function, the Western Cape is tendering actively now for a bus shuttle to the airport, undermining what the city's plan is. The same issue has been raised with us repeatedly by the city of Joburg and to some extent the city of Tshwane as well, where they say the city of Joburg has actually got municipal buses. But the province administers the subsidy in ways that actually undermine, literally, the operations of a municipally owned bus service in favor of PATCO. That's their perception. So one wants to clean that up, not to undermine provinces, and provinces are going to have to play a very significant role in terms of bus subsidies, probably a more significant role, because if we get the integrated public transport systems right, then I suspect that most of the more subsidies need to go to rural areas where you really do need to subsidize public transport, where you don't have the levels of users. If you get the integrated public transport systems right, you'll in fact find that you can run profitable systems where you're not getting different modes undermining each other and everyone becomes unprofitable and so on, which I think is the current problem. Sorry, that was a long speech, but just to try and explain why this is very important, but what it's all about in terms of the practicalities of experience that you've had.
Yeah, thanks very much, Shepherd. Your introductory remarks suggested that these are really directives from the Constitution, more than anything. The weight of the submission, is that true?
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is that we know what we want to do, okay, and I think we're at one very much with the department and the policies that we've got on public transport and as a committee and indeed across political affiliations in this committee. We have a general sense of what we're trying to do. But in order to do it, we've got to obviously operate within the Constitution and existing legislation. And so our first attempt to do what we want to do proved to be problematic in terms of the Constitution and existing legislation. So this is a fresh attempt to achieve the same objectives, bearing in mind the Constitution.
I did understand it. No, but you know, my experience is that the assignment provision is just subject and open to power play. Even the current problems you're describing, Chairperson, are just on the basis of who can form alliances with who at any particular time. And a lot like more directing provision. Over these 14 years, if you go back to what was to be assigned in 1996 when you adopted the Constitution, you'll see how many things are still being held back. There are other things that I'll say to the ANC in private, but honestly, I'm not in favor of this provision of assignment because it puts people at the mercy of these different power plays and sometimes the personalities. I think we must make it compulsory to move forward, to have a forward-looking developmental approach. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's exactly the right issue. So what we're doing here is, the particular problem in this respect has been, quite frankly, between metros, and not all the metros, and provinces, and not all provinces, but a couple of provinces, essentially. And for understandable reasons, where the bulk of a provincial budget within a province is actually happening in a Western Cape, whether the metro is under DA control or ANC control or some combination of those things, there have been sustaining problems, and Gauteng is the other obvious place, where you've got a province and a metro playing in the same space. That's where the problems have happened. Okay. So what we're trying to solve that problem by, as it were, making it clear that the assignment function of operating licenses and subsidies vests with the national and not with the province. That's been unclear. So we're trying to
create a bit of space between that the problem that we're encountering of provinces and metros, okay. But your points are exactly right. The danger of what we're trying to do is that given what we know about how it's been working in the past, this looks like a better solution. But at the end of the day, it can still rest in the hands of personalities and turf battles and things like that. I mean, that is the danger. And that's why I think, and that's why we were trying to do something else in the original draft, bearing this in mind. But the advice we're getting is we've got to go this assignment. It's the only way, short of changing the schedules in the constitution. And we were saying yesterday with the DPLG colleagues that maybe as a committee we need to make that input and build on exactly what you're saying as well, that maybe we need to make a written submission to the DPLG process of what is the future of provinces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, suggesting maybe that we could look at constitutional changes as well, so that it doesn't rest on the whims of assignment, which is not the guaranteed thing. The best I think we can do is within the framework we've got, is to vest these key things in national, and then make sure that policy, and as best as possible, also what we're saying by way of what we're trying to do here, makes it very clear that we are trying to combine and not disperse responsibilities, planning, regulation, implementation, monitoring, whatever. We're trying to combine those and, where appropriate, devolve them. That's the policy. So we can't... Originally we were saying the following metros and large cities must be vested with these powers in the definition, if you'll remember. That's not going to work. We can't pull it off like that. But we were trying to guarantee it like that. So I think the best we can do is to... There's good policy, but policy can just be nice bits of paper, not so on. Good policy, as much as possible, refer to the policy in terms of aims and objectives and so on of what we're trying to achieve here, and then go the assigning route. But it does run the... You're absolutely right. I think disagree.
No, I agree entirely.
I think I need to also clarify that these are the existing contracts in relation to existing contracts. In relation to the contracts that will be introduced in terms of the IRPTN, that we've made that a inherent municipal transport function.
Good. Okay. That's good. Okay. So that's right. Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. These are dealing with the current reality. Okay. Can we then move on? So we've had a look at the responsibilities of national. And we've deliberately been transparent about what we're trying to do rather than just go through. Okay. So then we move to provincial.
The provincial, that's B, 11.1B. The provincial sphere of government is responsible for 1, the formulation of provincial transport policy and strategy, 2, planning, coordination and facilitation of land transport functions in the province, and preparing the provincial land transport framework in terms of section 44 of this bill. 3, coordination between municipalities with a view to ensuring the effective and efficient execution of land transport in the province and promoting provincial legislation with a view to promoting the object of this act. 4, liaising with other government departments in the national and provincial spheres with responsibilities that impact on transport and land use planning issues, and bringing together key players. So these are other national sector departments. 5 is capacitating municipalities that lack capacity or resources to perform their land transport functions. 6, building capacity in municipalities to monitor the implementation of this act. 7, ensuring implementation of the provincial integrated development strategy and public transport strategy with due attention to rural areas but the focus on less capacitated municipalities or those that do not fulfill their responsibilities in respect of transport service delivery, either by direct implementation or assistance under paragraph 5 and 8, performing the provincial functions assigned to the MEC in terms of this Act.
Okay. So, Mrs. Chair, I mean, that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Any comments or issues that... Okay. Can we always come back to it, but okay. Let's go to municipal.
Chairperson, the municipal functions are quite extensive, and I think here in this is where we're actually moving according to global benchmarks as well.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly everywhere you either have land transport is either fundamentally national or fundamentally local, and we are moving in the local direction. The municipal sphere of government is responsible for one, developing land transport policy within each area based on national and provincial guidelines, which includes its vision for the area and incorporates spatial development policies on matters such as densification and infilling, as well as development corridors. Chairperson, stop me because I think there are many clauses over here, so maybe we'll deal with the first five or something like that, and then
continue. Good idea.
Two, formulating municipal bylaws and concluding agreements as appropriate in the municipal sphere. Three, ensuring coordination between departments and agencies in the municipal sphere with responsibilities that impact on transport and land use planning issues and bringing together the relevant officials. Four, in its capacity as planning authority, preparing transport plans for its area, ensuring the implementation thereof, and monitoring its performance in achieving its goals and objectives. And five, financial planning with regard to land transport within or affecting its area, with particular reference to transport planning, infrastructure, operations, services, maintenance, monitoring, and administration, with due focus on rehabilitation and maintenance of infrastructure. And
okay.
Maybe I'll stop there for now.
Okay. So let's just track through them. Maybe we just all quietly read it.
About agencies last time,
yes.
Number three.
Yes. Okay, can we just have a comment on agencies, which is under three?
Yeah,
I think that's intended to include municipal entities like the Johannesburg Roads Agency. So.
Okay.
See, while I'm in one, I suggested one should add a strategy to be consistent with the OS policy and strategy.
To be consistent with?
With A and B, you know, the national and provincial section.
The policy and strategy.
Right, and strategy consistent with? No, and, okay.
No, just to add and strategy.
And strategy, so that we are consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so agencies would include entities. We're sure of that, okay. Yeah, maybe there's a grammatical in one. It should be incorporate rather than incorporate, I think. Let's just check on it. My English says incorporate, I think, but doesn't that come from? Developing land transport within its area based on national and provincial guidelines, which includes its vision for the area and
Incorporate or incorporating?
Which include and incorporate.
Yeah. And maybe that comma comes out then, after area, which includes its vision for the area and incorporate. Okay. Okay. Shall we move on then?
Yes.
Okay.
But maybe before we move on, just a bit of clarity on five. The reason why we've added a fair amount there on rehabilitation and maintenance matters is that people are saying that, and even DPLG, that quite often there are greenfield infrastructure development and there's little effort to budget for operations and maintenance thereafter.
Absolutely. But the sexy things are the new Golden Highway or the whatever. But okay.
Six, managing the movement of persons and goods on land within each area by coordinating such movement.
Okay, this is
that's the critical.
How is the Transnet issue?
I don't have a problem with that, but let's just think it through. What is managing the persons and goods on land within its area by coordinating such movement? Does that infringe on Transnet management functions? Explain. Not that I want to be the devil's advocate for Transnet, but nonetheless.
So we had a long discussion with them on this. And
you won it, on this?
No, we didn't see eye to eye. Our viewpoint, or the department's viewpoint, is that when you're doing transport planning, you need to take into account, we're not regulating flight transport at all, but one needs to take account of where it moves. The Act requires municipalities to determine routes for dangerous goods. And we had a long debate about pipelines as well. We undertook to look into that one. But certainly the intention is not to regulate freight transport, but to take account of its movements and manage it either through the road traffic function by shifting it onto another road or whatever. Transnet also wants us to exclude movements within ports, which is fine. But, you know, if the port decides to shift traffic like in Durban to the other side of the port, it has a huge impact on the municipality. Absolutely. But they assured us there is enough coordination in terms of the Ports Act.
Yeah, we hope so, because we put that in for that reason. Okay, unless there's anyone that's... I don't think any municipality is going to say that it's an inherent function that we should schedule your train services, freight train.
Seven, encouraging and promoting the optimal use of the available travel modes so as to enhance the effectiveness of the transport system and reduce traveling time and costs. Eight, developing, implementing and monitoring a strategy to prevent, minimize or reduce any adverse impacts of the land transport system on the environment in its area. Nine, developing, operating, and maintaining a land transport information system for its area. 10. Encouraging, promoting, and facilitating public consultation, participation, or involvement to ensure effective communication with customers, communities, organized labor, and transport operators. Maybe we should change the term customers to users.
Yes.
We've done another five, so let's
see. I mean, I've interrupted you on the managing thing, but we've agreed to keep it. Seven, eight, nine seems straightforward. 10. This was there already, if I recall, pretty much in this form. Encouraging, promoting, and facilitating public consultation, participation, or involvement to ensure effective communication. I'm a little worried with communication can mean top-down, this is what we're going to do, and you can't tell us we didn't it's not quite the same thing as participation, is it? As envisaged in, and I can never remember which is which, the Municipal Systems or Structures Act, which calls for participatory budgeting, and so which goes a whole lot more than just communication.
Yeah, I think that actually goes with the next one. I think what we had in mind there was to make sure that a tourist or somebody arriving in an area has access to adequate timetables and other information. I think that was more the intention. That, I think that second part should be really combined with the next one.
Okay. But what I'm trying to say is, yes, obviously we need, I mean, we're very weak in terms of information, public information about what's available, what times, and so on. But the municipal, I think it's the Systems Act or the Structures Act, one of the two, has a quite much more radical version of local democracy. And that touches on what we were dealing with a little bit yesterday when we were meeting with the taxi sector. I think we want to, it's very hard to have participatory democracy at a national level other than through sectoral inputs from trade unions or whatever. But the great merit of devolving these things is that you can then involve public participation in saying, as users, we think this is it's a bad idea having a Klipfontein corridor. That isn't where we need it. We need it here. Now, we're not saying that some kind of mass meeting will decide how to decide on a route, but you would want to create the space for it to be able to impact on a route decision or the allocation of budget. Do we want to spend the budget in Cape Town on the hospital bend or on public transport? And you would want to move municipalities in terms of existing municipal legislation in the direction of opening up these things to a participatory engagement, whether it's from the minibus sector or from users or bus owners or whatever, and you can do it. We want Rea Vaya to be talking to the operators on those routes, because Rea Vaya is not going to work unless it gets buy-in, cooperation, and so on. So it's in the interest to do it, but technicians sometimes don't do these things. They know what's best. And they often do, but maybe they don't always. Sekula?
No, thanks, Chair. I'm inclined to say leave communication as is and go to 12. Provide information to users, potential users. I would say users, potential users, and other stakeholders of public transport to ensure, this participatory.
But you're agreeing that
I agree with the principle, yeah. And how we provide for that, because there are instances where there's just communication, but the stronger way you provide for them to provide information so that people can actually have a say.
I'm inclined, because I like how it begins, 10. Encouraging, promoting, and facilitating public consultation, participation, or involvement. But in what? Okay. I would say in the planning, in the regulation, and in all those functions, the core functions we're designing, you want a participatory dimension into it. You don't want a mass meeting to make the final decision. I'm not that anarchistic, okay? Pretty anarchistic, but not that anarchistic. but only citizens in their city must say, must have the chance to say, to robustly participate in all of those, and to play a role, an active role in regulation as well. In other words, through commuter forums and so on, to say, this operator is giving us a terrible service. Now, I know we make allowance for that in terms of hotlines and things like that. But the more we've got participation, citizen participation in the monitoring of the performance of drivers, and so on, the better. And that's the intention of what we're trying to do later on. So a rewording that goes something like encouraging, promoting, and facilitating public consultation, participation, or perhaps I should read an involvement rather than or involvement, to ensure that or involvement, consultation, participation, or involvement in the planning and the regulation of public transport, or something like that. I think you have a sense of what I'm trying to get at.
Yes,
it should be needs-driven planning or needs-driven plan.
Yes.
And then it's a plan-driven delivery. Then.
Yeah, but I've got the needs. Needs to be a participatory-driven planning as well, because again, experts can identify what needs are without actually asking the needy what it is. The disability sector, maybe, also. You want them to put in the door right at the beginning of the planning section so that you don't have a system which forgets about the disability challenges. You want them early on to have the opportunity to say, not just to be the recipients of a communication, which is, no, we're doing very well, and da, 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 but in that planning. Okay. Okay, very important, because this also is how we're going to win the battle.
Yeah, I think
that we have.
Yeah.
Which is to say, the reason why we're devolving is a critical reason why we're devolving is that it actually creates the space for real consultation and involvement. That's what we can say to the minibus sector. That's what I was trying to say to them yesterday. You've got problems and you're worried and so on. We understand that. Be active. But then when it's great for the space for them to be active, to participate, raise their fears and concerns. Okay. Bob.
Just to take us back to H, just a little, that it's where the department needs to closely work with, under H, to closely work with environmental affairs. I know there is an act that has been passed by Parliament on the air pollution. You know, sometimes we pass these things and they're never implemented. Perhaps the department will need to work with environmental affairs to implement that act that has been passed.
Okay. Hopefully that's covered by needing to cooperate with all relevant entities, which is one of the earlier ones. But it's good that we're flagging environment, because that's one of the issues. And again, it's a powerful weapon now that we've got in promoting public transport, is that we don't have too many solutions for global warming or whatever, but one of them is public transport. So it's good to flag that. Okay. Just that you might want to on the 10 thing that I'm worrying on, refer to whatever that act is, the Systems or Structures Act. I mean, maybe literally refer to it in under 10, or at least capture some wording that we might find there, which is about the participatory, it's about ward committees, it's about a whole range of participatory things, not implemented in reality very much, but we need to be nudging municipalities in that direction.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we'll look at the wording of that and capture some of the wording in the Systems Act as well. 11, marketing and promoting public transport and promoting publicity association associated with the public transport system.
Yeah.
12, providing information to users or potential users of public transport. 13, promoting safety and security in public transport. 14, with a view to ensuring coordinated transport law enforcement within its area, liaising on a continuous basis with the South African Police Service, the relevant provincial and municipal law enforcement authorities or agencies, and the inspectors appointed under the Cross-Border Act. And 15, applying traffic management techniques aimed at improving road traffic movement.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Yeah. Then the members are all happy with that. Nice, that's yeah.
16, undertaking functions relating to municipal roads as well as measures to limit damage to the road system. 17, the planning, implementation, and management of modally integrated public transport networks and travel corridors for transport within the municipal area and liaison in that regard with neighboring municipalities. 18, in relation to the planning functions contemplated in paragraph 5, include service level planning for passenger rail on a corridor network basis in consultation with the South African Rail, I think it's supposed to be Rail Commuter Corporation, and other rail-related functions, if such functions have been assigned to the relevant municipality or municipalities. 19, introducing, establishing, or assisting in, or encouraging and facilitating the establishment of integrated ticketing systems and determining measures for the regulation and control of revenue sharing among operators involved in those systems. And 20, after consultation with the Minister and the MEC, and subject to standards set by the Minister under Section 5.5, if any, by notice in the Provincial Gazette, set standards for interoperability between fare collection and ticketing systems in each area. I'll hold there.
Okay, let's hold there. So just remind us, we started on 15, huh? Or 16. 15, okay. Or 14, either. Anyhow. I can't remember where we were, okay.
No. No, we started at 16,
sorry. Oh, 16, yeah. Okay.
See, just a technical one on 14. The RTMC is actually a national agency. I think we just need to make an adjustment. The Road Traffic Management Corporation should also be involved.
Yes. I'm very happy with all of that, with those little amendments, Rail Community Corporation and RTMC. Anyone?
just the one on roads. The 15.
Right.
We pick it up on the ground that while there's this responsibility, the funding side is a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
I just want to be assured that elsewhere there are provisions that are strong enough to can actually enable this. Otherwise, we may have to draw something into this bill, really.
Okay, you're treading on an issue which we're aware of, and which I was going to flag at the end of this process. Can we flag it for later? Because it's not just in regard to roads; it's in regard to a whole lot of these functions. Is there going to be funding? Yeah. Okay. So can we flag that and come back to it? Okay. Otherwise, it seems like we're okay. So can we go to the next chunk?
21, formulating and apply travel demand management measures for each area. 22, in the case of gross cost contracts for subsidized services, determining fare structures and fare levels and periodically adjust fares after publishing the proposed adjustment for public comment. 23, determining concessionary fares for special categories of passengers. 24, exercising control over service delivery through 1, the setting of operational and technical standards and monitoring compliance therewith, and 2, the monitoring of contracts and concessions. Maybe I should hold there.
Yes, just hold there. Okay. We had a discussion previously about 22, which is the gross cost contract. I think we were happy.
21. We started 21.
Yes, no, I know. 22. TDM is. Okay. I just. 22, I think we've had that discussion, but maybe there are further questions. think we understood what we were doing there. 23 concessionary fares.
Does that include school transport, school buses?
See, we've got a pretty wide definition of special categories. I can't remember if it includes learners. We can have a quick look.
Right. Because that's currently very much a provincial...
It includes scholars, students, persons with disabilities, etc., in terms of the definition.
And this is making that an inherent function of municipalities. Are we not running into the problems that on the broader front that we were trying to deal with? Currently, it's, as I think if I'm not mistaken, it's a provincial education department that subsidize learner transport.
Yeah, I think that, I don't think they would. Also, I think it's implied in other functions that they could do this, so that if you're a special category, you pay less on the bus or whatever. I don't know if we have to include it specifically.
I'm just thinking through what's happening in reality now, and then that the constitutional challenge issue that we might face, because. So, under concessionary fares, in the definition of concessionary fares or whatever, do we want to include learners? We do. We are, but do we want to? And does that not then have an impact on this complicated architecture that we're trying to? Because there's a further debate as to whether that's an educational function or a transport function, and there's a debate that I know is going on. Certainly in the Western Cape, I know MECs, the transport MEC field, the problem is you're getting people dealing with this who don't understand transport, for instance. Now we're starting to be quite categorical in that area, in regard one to inherent municipal function, and it's a transport function. Can we ask you to think about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we consult colleagues or whatever.
Maybe we take up the default.
In the definition, and then so what we mean by concessionary. Okay, maybe it's wrong to do that, but. Because it is a form of concessionary fare, but I'm just a little bit worried about.
Yeah, see, we don't want to thwart what
the bigger
picture. Done, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so we'll learners is an issue there in terms of the definition. Yeah, I think if in doubt, go the cautious route on this one. So we don't fall to the bigger picture, yeah. So if we can divide education MECs from transport MECs rather than a united front, so much the less united front we have against what we're trying to do, the better. So a few crumbs here and there can help. Okay? Otherwise, I think we're okay with where we got. Okay, let's move on to it.
Concluding subsidized service contracts, commercial service contracts, and negotiated contracts contemplated in section 50 sub 1 with operators for services within the areas. 26, developing and managing intelligent transport systems for the area in the prescribed manner.
Mm-hmm.
and 27 performing the other functions of municipalities in terms of this act.
Okay.
So another technical one in 25, after commercial service contracts, there should be a comma because only negotiated contracts are dealt with in 50 sub 1.
Okay. Right, okay.
Two, the minister may assign any function contemplated in paragraph A of subsection 1 to a province or municipality subject to sections 99 and 156(4) of the Constitution and sections 9 and 10 of the Systems Act to achieve the objectives of the Constitution and this Act. This is with respect to the A functions.
Yeah. Okay.
So one of the implications of that is that before assigning those functions, for example, operating license function is a procedure that must be gone through the FFC and evaluating the financial implications and so on.
Exactly. And this is where we've taken advice, obviously, from the DPLT. This is their daily bread. Huh? Yeah. Okay.
Three, the MEC may assign any function contemplated in paragraph B of subsection 1 to a municipality subject to section 156(4) of the Constitution and section 9 and 10 of the Systems Act to achieve the objectives of the Constitution and this Act.
Okay.
Four, any municipality may request the Minister or MEC to assign a function to it contemplated in subsections 1A or B subject to sections 156(4) of the Constitution and sections 9 and 10 of the Systems Act where such municipality has an adequate and acceptable integrated transport plan. Five, where a municipality is performing a function contemplated in paragraph A of subsection 1 on the date of commencement of this Act, such function is deemed to have been assigned to that municipality under subsection 2. Wow, that's quite a bit. Six. I think we need to go slowly here.
Yeah.
Shall we? I think start with four again and deal with those.
Okay. I think what we need to understand is how four differs from three.
And three.
I mean, I'm guessing how it might, but if you could maybe just take us slowly through, well, fairly slowly through. So three. Okay. Now I understand. Okay. I think I've got it. But let's take us through slowly. Okay. So. An MEC may, the Minister can assign in terms of all of the Constitution and the Systems Act. An MEC, which is three, may assign in terms of da 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 da. And then four is a municipality may request of a Minister or an MEC. So the instigation of the thing can come either from a Minister or an MEC or from a municipality. And there's similar references in each case when an assignment happens, whether it's a requested assignment or decided upon assignment, they would have to take place within the framework of the Constitution and the relevant sections of the Constitution as well as the Systems Act. That's what 2, 3 and 4 say. Have I got it? I've got it. Okay, anybody want? Okay. Okay, we think we've... Yeah.
Can I just say it out loud?
Yeah.
Between 2 and 3 lies the opportunity to free up the local government sphere.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Provided 2 does its job. And it's not guaranteed, but...
See, I think the main freeing is in C, which is very broad now, the inherent municipal function.
Yeah.
But there are some that have to sit higher and can be assigned.
Yeah.
It's in the sense that I'm hoping that there will be an opportunity for loosening up. Where in the sense, in the past, there would have been an assumption that... that it has to go via the province first. That from now on, it will be possible to take things straight to the municipality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And we're going quite far, so assigning via the national, but as Neville was saying, we're actually going quite far in a number of these things in terms of making them inherent functions of municipalities, which they might not be able to fulfill or more even need to take up necessarily in the case of a small or whatever. But this is going much further than is the current reality. Okay. I mean, for instance, integrated ticketing. We're saying a province can't do that. It's not its function. It might be asked by a municipality how to do it or something. But it's inherent in it. So that would be a good example of freeing up space. And it's an area where we're getting real problems, as I was saying earlier. Okay.
Five, where a municipality is performing a function contemplated in paragraph A of subsection 1 on the date of commencement of this Act, such function is deemed to have been assigned to that municipality under subsection 2.
What are we thinking of there? That makes sense, but what, for instance?
BRT networks, yeah. And that's what we have in mind.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, up till now there's no certainty on what were the municipal functions.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
Six, where a province is performing a function contemplated in paragraph A of subsection 1 on the date of commencement of this Act, it must continue, subject to the assignment of that function to a municipality by the minister.
So that means if it's running an operating licensing board, it's still running the operating licensing board, but that's subject to... Yeah. Elsewhere.
Seven, the minister may make regulations or issue guidelines providing for transitional arrangements.
Just well on six, just for the logic of it. We're saying, for instance, operating licensing is a national function. Currently it's undertaken provincially, we know that. That will continue, but it might discontinue if there's an assignment. Okay, so the net effect of what we're saying there is we're ruling out, okay, the national has no intention of, in that case, of claiming back, as it were, its...
So just thinking of the interaction between this and the PRE, there will be a role for the provincial regulatory entity.
Yes.
There will be still be a role for the PRE.
Yeah.
So one may have to then qualify. One thing we need to do now is sit and think through the implications on the rest of the bill. We've done that to a certain extent, but and one of the things, I think one of the things one is grappling with now is where there's transport between two municipal areas.
Mm.
We had opinions saying that should be provincial, but there's also coordination. If you have Rio Vaya running to the airport, for instance,
mm-hmm.
There'll have to be coordination with Ekurhuleni.
Absolutely.
But where's the province's role? If it's a regional service, in inverted commas, like Gauteng,
yeah.
I think that would be provincial. So we'll have to try and articulate that.
Okay, but I'm worrying at a slightly separate thing for the moment. I agree that that's an issue. The national, I can't remember what it's called, the national regulator is in effect taking some of the current operating licensing functions away from the provinces and vesting them nationally. Yeah.
See, that's not the idea, because we say provinces must continue with the function until it's assigned. So the idea is not that it will be taken up to the NPTR. The NPTR will only be responsible for tourist transport and inter-provincial.
Yeah, but tourism transport is currently vested with the operating licensing board. Okay. So what I'm trying to say here, six covers the case where it's your baby, provinces, subject to it being assigned, one of these functions being assigned to a municipality, a metro or something like that. But in fact, a bit more than what is said then is happening, because we're saying it's an licensing of public transport is a national function, and that would include, you see, I'm not being precise enough, but what I'm saying is a current thing being played by an operating licensing board, for instance, in a province. It's not just if it gets devolved, assigned by a national to a municipality, that some of those functions move out of the operating licensing board. There are other current functions that are moving in other directions, some of them going up to national.
Yeah, I think we need to say subject to this act, because...
subject to this act, yeah. Rather than get into the detail. So if we can just add subject to the, yeah. So it covers those other things that are happening. Okay.
Seven, the minister may make regulations or issue guidelines providing for transitional arrangements where a function is assigned under subsection 2, which may differentiate between A, different categories of municipalities, budgetary size, or in any other determinable manner, or B, functional areas.
I
think one will need such regulations or guidelines, and the wording we were referred to the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act by DPLG, so we've kind of sort of followed that wording.
Okay, so that's it, and that's exactly what we, both in terms of literally, but also content-wise, what we were hoping for today. And with the little bits and pieces that we've added, I'm very happy with that, I must say. But let me not intimidate other members to say they're very unhappy, or somewhat happy. Any further comments we want to make on this? Okay, seems not, but obviously we can still do that. So that's great. So I think that if we... Now, we've still got a couple of things. The one thing is exactly what Dr. Sefulara flagged, specifically around roads, but is a more general issue. And I think in your absence, what Treasury says it doesn't like this notion of... you were there then when they said it. These public transport, a national public transport fund, a provincial public transport fund, and a municipal public transport fund. We were creating in the legislation those entities. And they said, well, what's the... I'm uncomfortable. It seemed like we were creating something separate. You know, why does the current budgetary realities not work? And they would have difficulty and problems. The response from the department was, well, fine, but our problem is exactly the problem you're raising, is that in the National Land Transport Transitional Act, for instance, we provided for transport authorities and all kinds of nice things, and Etiquini went ahead and launched one, but it was an unfunded mandate almost. It was so there's skepticism out there, especially in metros. Yeah, okay, you're doing something very nice, but we don't want an unfunded mandate. You've got to... So let's just hear about that and where that aspect is.
Chairperson, the issue of unfunded mandates, I think, is something that we're going to hear about it again, given the set of functions that we have located within the municipal sphere. That's one. I think a number of municipalities, even if they don't need it, they may start saying, but where's the money for us to do these things here? So I think that's the first thing. Of course, there will be pressures on the national department to say, you have allocated these functions here. So I think the key pressure will be more around capacitating and support, capacitation and support. That I think there will be a huge pressure around that. Not that it's a bad thing in its own, but think the unfunded mandate issues are going to come up again. We phoned Marissa yesterday in relation to this matter, because on the one hand, it's you know, the Treasury saying that they do support devolution and consolidation of functions, but what is the fiscal framework to support that? And so what she said, that she was going to try and, she was in Durban yesterday, and she was going to try and put something last night, but by around 10, 11 this morning, she was going to try and email something to Dion Fulion to indicate that you don't need those funds, but that there is commitment from Treasury to finance land transport in the future, in the coming years, and that commitment probably would be through a form of some form of dedication, and maybe through some form of conditional grant. But we haven't seen anything yet. So.
Okay. So we're likely to drop references to these three funds, public transport funds, given that there are objections, provided we get a letter from a middle-ranking official in Treasury.
She indicated that she was going to speak to the Director General and, and come through from that angle.
Chair, I think what we said in the last, in the last meeting about retaining the municipal fund still stands, if possible.
Right.
One left in our side. Previously, we said every DPA or transport authority will have a fund. We left in our leasing bank. But I think we'd like to retain that if possible.
Yes, and there was strong support for that from South Africans. They don't care if there's not a provincial or national public transport fund, but they think it's a useful plot, was the word they used.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, if that's objection to the three pots, you know, it's not based on what I originally heard about us not treading into the area of creating money bill, then I would say that we must make provision for funding at municipality level. Yeah. Okay. So I want to draw a strict distinction between the advice that we are treading into money bills from this one, which is just some discomfort about having three pots of gold, as it were, but we must provide for funding at municipality level.
Okay. So I think the committee is advising a move in that direction, which is retain that municipal fund, public transport fund. The others are less significant. The Nika Bay, absolutely sure that we're not making a money bill, so particularly if we need a personally don't think that we are not an expert in whether something's a money bill or not, but the net effect of a lot of, there's a lot of money sloshing around which is supposed to be going to public transport, and we've had a fivefold increase in our budget. Much of it, not all of it, but much of it is actually for public transport. So it's not the money aspect of it, it's the coordination and planning and effective integration of that spend that is problematic. I mean, we're spending huge amounts of money on Gautrain, for instance, and other things. Integrated ticketing systems, without integrated systems here, 300 million already, I think, or something like that here in the Western Cape. Huge subsidies going on an annual basis. It's almost now 3 billion, hey, the bus subsidies, 2.5 billion annually, bus subsidies.
Near
to 3 billion. So it's, for me, it's less about getting more money, it's more about the rational use of, and I think that's part of our argument. I think Treasury does appreciate that, understands that. We're not asking for a doubling. Some provinces, by the way, are asking for a doubling of the bus subsidy. Again, the Western Cape is a point in, because, you know, in order to do all the things they want to do. Okay, so there's this, and it looks like we're on track.
so that's work well done, and thank you very much for all the hard work. There's the Municipal Public Transport Fund. There's the vested rights issue. I think we were happy with where we've got to. There's the little fiddly things that I drew your attention to. Haven't just, if I could just quickly, that we had an individual submission from a Siebert, Dr. Siebert, in fact, who's a transport engineer, railway engineer. And we didn't ask him to make an oral presentation. It's just an individual and so on. But there are a couple of interesting points he makes. I think all the members have got it, and if they're not, we will make it. The main point he makes is that we talk a lot about intermodal integration, but in the definition and in a couple of paragraphs that he highlights, but we don't talk enough about intramodal. And his big bugbear, and he shares that with me, is Gautrain, which is going ahead and not looking at how it connects and interfaces effectively with Metro Rail. And he's saying that wherever we talk about the need for intermodal, we should also talk about intramodal integration as well. I think that's a good point. It's a small point, but it's a nice point, I thought. I think that's the fundamental point he's making. So I've asked informally, but if I could just also then just alert members to that issue. And you might all like to read his, it's quite, I mean, let me know. But he's, it's a two-pager, it's worth looking at. Anything else that we want to say to our hard-working drafters? Anything from side of others? Okay, and you're clear what we're hoping for. Wonderful. Okay, so on Monday, 2 o'clock, we'll come. Do we have a venue yet? S12A, over in the NCOP side of things. We'll come together at 2 p.m. What we hope to have is we'll talk off two documents, basically. We'll have the original bill, and then we'll have a composite set of amendments, and we'd like the amendments sequentially. So even though, so what we did today was really look at a coherent issue, but on Monday what we would need is to be able to go page one and then look at any proposed amendments on page one, page two, page three, page four, like that. Okay. So let's I've been asked that if the ANC colleagues could just remain behind briefly, and I noticed it's briefly. Then also there's a finger lunch, which is an hour away, an hour and a quarter away. Asked for a finger lunch, so if anyone wants to benefit from the finger lunch, you're more than welcome, which will be just right outside here. Just here, okay? But use it or lose it, so someone else will get it. The staff will benefit if not. Okay, thanks very much. Thank you. Brilliant, wonderful, thank you. How are you? All right.